Hello and welcome to the No BS Approach to Motherhood podcast, hosted by Catherine Hay and Shelley McKenzie. We are both mothers and clinical nutritionists who specialize in women's health. We are here to not only bring you the most up-to-date nutritional and health advice when it comes to fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and children's nutrition, but our main goal is to break through the BS that can come with motherhood. No topic is off limits. So grab a cuppa or a glass of wine and join us for another raw and real conversation surrounding motherhood. Today, we are proudly sponsored by BioFirst, a family brand from the northern beaches of Sydney, where all of their products are actually made here in Australia.
Although they do a range of beautiful topical products that are handy in any home, today we will be highlighting their ultra-sensitive skin rescue lotion. This is a dermatologist-certified steroid-free lotion for eczema-prone, rosacea-prone, or ultra-sensitive skin and can be used for newborns from onwards.
Powered by a trio of oils, argan, jojoba, sea buckthorn, which are deeply moisturizing, nourishing, protective, and have no greasy, clogging effects. Unique chemical-free alternatives that fight visible signs of hypersensitive and chronic skin distress. For sensitive skin prone to eczema or rosacea, product reactions, allergies or rashes, topical steroid withdrawal, redness, irritation, dryness, itchiness or scaliness.
They have amazing reviews and success stories on their website, so don't just take our word for it. If you want to try their products, use our discount code NOBS15.
Links are in our bio. Hi, Vanessa. Welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to have you on because you are the very first doula that we have ever spoken to, which is amazing. And I want you to start by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. What an honor. I'm a doula. Yes, I'm a birth and postpartum doula. I also, a little bit different than most, I also help with fertility support as well. So there's a lot of elements of, and I think in the fertility world, they need that holding space, that person that will support them. And funny you ask, or even to know, whenever a time I have to introduce myself, someone says, you're a doula. And everyone says, and what is that? No one knows what a doula is. And if they do, they have some type of, I don't think that it's what I would generally would be doing, which is helping and supporting. So how I like to explain what a doula is we come along the emotional and physical side of pregnancy and postpartum. We're here to support you, almost like being your cheerleader, giving you that sounding board, no judgment, giving you that element of understanding, that support. And sometimes it's that navigation when we're sponges in this time, especially with first-time mums or women that have had trauma from birth or experience even postpartumly that need that always sounding board or that person to be with you, and that's what a doula is. We do all different aspects. You know, some just focus on postpartum, some just focus on birth. And there are so many of us. I always say there's a spectrum of us. Some will only do home births. Some will support, certain types of births. I support all births. I do work alongside Joseph Skroyd and support fertility and pregnancy and post as well. And I'm also in part of the birth itself. So I'm there the whole time, basically, while they're dressing.
And for those who don't know, Joe is an OB, and I do find it so beautiful that you two work alongside each other, because I think another perhaps misconception is that doulas and OBs don't coexist, whereas you and Dr. Joe just work so stunningly together. Do you feel like that is a common misconception that you either, not you're choosing one or the other, because obviously you need an OB, particularly with birth in the hospital, but yeah, it is.
You know what? When I came out and became a doula, that surprised me, because I just thought, this is a given, right? We're here to support women. Why would we be then headbutting the system or headbutting any type of support that we're giving women while they're birthing? So it shocked me as I became a doula to think that, why can't we work as a team? And myself and Joe's joked about how in registrar I was afraid of the doula, you know, and it is such a thing that it was. And I was like, well, I was shocked. But it is a thing, and it is not that the world, I think maybe back in the day, I always say I'm not here to be the, you know, I don't come in with my super cape. I'm giving you the tools to help you, right? And sometimes it's the fact that, so they're afraid to talk to their healthcare provider. It's sometimes about how to articulate their fears, or they don't even think that that's something that they need to talk about in their birth experience. So when we talk about birth satisfaction, it's about having their voice. And so working as a team, and it's not just even with Joe, the team that I have upstairs here at Epworth are so supportive. The midwives, we all work together in that space. And it really is a fun day. Like everyone always jokes at me. We do, and we laugh. And yes, we cry and we want that oxytocin hormone to be released. But it is that, it's always like having a friend in that space. And so it's not about me to come against what Joe's recommended or any other health care provider. We're not trained to do that. So it shouldn't be our place if it's the woman's choice to say, yeah, you know what, I want an epidural from the get-go. Why should I not support it? Does her needs any less to any other woman that's needing, you know, or if they want elective cesarean, as long as she understands what she's about, all her decisions, and she has that team to support her, why not? So it is a difference. You know, we're the first in Melbourne, if not in Australia or worldwide, Joe says, that an obstetrician and doula work together, and it's part of his practice. So, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. That's so incredible, because that was my next question. So do you see every single one of Joe's clients that are birthing? Is that just part of that whole beautiful holistic package, I guess?
There's an option, yes, definitely. So some people go, you know what, I just want birth education from you, and it's totally fine. So I give them the tools. Like I said, it's not about me being there to make their birth. If they have and understand when I say the full elements of birth, no matter which way that looks, is if they were what I call an unplanned cesarean, not an emergency. So I take that fear out and understanding the steps. So we have different options for people in different packages. You know, people now obviously being full-time in the rooms, people are like, oh, I also think I need fertility support. So can you help me? I worked in the medical industry for over 20 years and in IVF for over, you know, a period of time. So I had another element of support that I can give women. And it's just sometimes just sitting with them before they're, you know, egg collection, and it's that person that they feel safe with. So,
yeah. You've really spiked my interest with doula in the fertility space, that preconception, that conception whole world, because I didn't even know a person like you existed for these people. And I'm in this group at the moment. So I think that's obviously why it spiked my interest to have a support person there holding your hand and giving tools in an incredibly sensitive space for me is just absolutely phenomenal. So can you dive into that a little bit deeper and about what that looks like? Because this is the first time I've heard of a doula offering fertility support. Yeah.
So, and you know, I've worked at, you know, clinics here in Melbourne for Monash and now and Melbourne IVF, where what I found, and this is one of the biggest things that actually drove me to become a doula, because I watched so many couples or women don't talk about it. They hear that at the start of the journey very much like, yeah, this is what I'm going through and I'm happy to talk about it. And then when they're around, so all of a sudden they start to go inwards and they close and they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to retell the story. And it's always that they lose their identity as they're going through, you know, fertility treatment, because no one gets to ask you how's work. Everyone's like, where are you at? What's going on? What's your next, you know, how does that look? And I gave birth through the pandemic, and I was like, it just threw me that women are doing this on their own. So I was like, let's give that support. And it was just obviously working with Joe that the need for it. So people would call me, and so it would just be to be there with scans, to be there for their, even their embryo transfers. So it's just that holding that space. I also do a lot of chats beforehand. So I'm also studying counselling. So in part of it, we know through fertility you have counselling, but it's not enough. You know, it's almost like a tick box. Yes, you need to do this, but it's that every day and how to work with your emotions. So I give a lot of tools, obviously beforehand, a lot of things like even just like how to do a mental dump. Like I'm not sleeping very well. How do I do this? You know, I'm very much of a journaler. I'm pen to paper, like always doing a mental dump. And sometimes after a mental dump, we chat about what's come up for them. It may not even be the fact that they're going through fertility. It could be some type of emotion. So I very, and that's the same that I do even with people that have birthed and had trauma and they're coming back to see me. Or our very first session, no matter which way the journey has been, I talk about birth or talk about fertility and what comes up for them. Because sometimes they don't even realize what's sitting lower. They just go knowing what's sitting in front of them today, and it goes a little bit deeper. So it's about not even, you know, partners as well, because they get forgotten about. And so it's about the both of them and how it is. And they're going to process the journey different to what we would be doing. So it's a lot of unpacking, a lot of chatting. I check in twice a week while they're going through their scans. Even if it's just 10 minutes over the phone, they just always need to, like, it's a sounding board. They just go, boom, let it. And then they feel okay. And it's not a friend. It's not their mom. It's not their sister. And it's just coming from someone to go, you know what? I understand what that appointment looked like for you, because I've sat in there with them. And it's not about, like, oh, so, you know, like the questions of not knowing when how to then sort of sometimes answer, or sometimes you get tired of answering the questions because it's a journey. Yeah,
fascinating. So great you offer this service, and I hope so many women that are listening to this podcast to know there's, you know, I don't know, are there lots of doulas that offer this service? Do you, yeah, okay.
Only one, yeah.
Your phone might be ringing off the
So it is, it's something that I'm passionate about. And also then understanding that when they do fall pregnant, they've been on a journey. And sometimes that you know, fertility journey, sometimes obviously even when you have a positive pregnancy, doesn't take away that fear. You know, they're always like, well, they're waiting for bad news, or they're waiting for something. And that obviously just doesn't stop because they're pregnant. And so they needing that support and going. And that also happens when baby's here, or they're so used to being, you know, on appointments, cycles, everything's tracked. And then they're like, I have a baby. Now what do I do?
You know, as you said, just like with that fertility and then falling pregnant, that first trimester, it is also a very lonely place for a lot of women, particularly if you have been on a long fertility journey or not, or if you've experienced any loss or what have you. So it can be so nice. And Cappy and I, we see this from a practitioner point of view often in clinic, is women, we're often the ones that women tell first, you know, that they are pregnant, which is such an honour. But yeah, having someone like you there to also support that emotional side, because we can throw all the herbies and supplements and all of that kind of stuff to help them, but it really is that talking and that navigating this process, and having somebody, I guess, who's gone through this with so many women as well and knows the system then to continue taking them through that pregnancy.
And also sometimes validating their feelings.
Mm.
And that's sometimes they need to, it's, you know, their feelings never wrong. It's not, you know, even postpartum, to know that it's normal. I think, you know, love social media, don't get me wrong, we're all on it and we promote our businesses, but it also showed us that everything's perfect, you know, and there's always a story behind, you know, even with my doula page looks beautiful, and I have births, and I have, there is so much that happens behind that I don't share a document. You know, the support that I am and calling, and I had a testimonial just texted me last night, actually, a client, and she needed support through her egg correction. And I read her testimonial. She's like, do whatever you want with it, but I just wanted to let you know the profound effect that you have on women. And I was in tears. Like, I read it, and I have not only helped her in this part, but she's also had post-trauma in the medical system as a young child with chronic disease. And she's like, you almost healed that for me, because I was in with her before her egg collection, and she had trauma that she'd wake up and be in fits, and so she would almost sometimes be restrained. And she said, you were the first time, so I came into theatre, I held her until she fell asleep. And then when she woke up in recovery, I was the first voice she heard. And so she said it was the very first time in any of my medical procedures that I, you know what, guys? We should doula with everything. Live a medical procedure. We just had a doula. Like, they just would go around hospitals and support anyone that's going through this. There is also doulas that are end-of-life doulas, so they're there to support at the end. But
there probably will be, though. It's only a matter of time, surely, till that gap is filled, because what a beautiful experience, and how healing for that client.
And I've used my doula hat when my mum's had medical procedures. She's in her 70s. My sister's a chemo nurse, but then I come from a whole another level to coach her through a procedure, and my sister was like, and to the point where I had the unit manager say to me, thank you for helping. And it's just, working as a team. That's my biggest thing. And this is something that myself and Joe talk about. It's just, we're here to help you, and we all have our roles, and that we're here to support people. And, like you said, in the first trimester, people don't know about it. You feel you want to tell people, you want to be able to do that, and having that person. I get people just to send me a DM on Instagram to say, I'm pregnant, and they're in another state, but they just want to tell someone. That's me. So, yeah.
Vanessa, what kind of training does a doula have, and is there any additional kind of education or anything that you should look for, or, yeah, what's the training with a doula?
So it's not a certificate. So there are doula colleges within Australia and, in each state. It's not a regulated, unfortunately, that I think it should be, a industry. That should be. You do parts of birth, and then you do postpartum. You also had a requirement that you need to do 3 births generally to get your cert. It really depends. I think when people are looking at, and it really depends on what element, you aren't doing counselling, there's a lot of it. I noticed I'm counselling, right? Worked in the medical industry, it's sort of different. Everyone has, we have people that are, midwives that go, I actually don't want to be in the system, and I don't want to be doing what I was doing behind paper. And so they've decided to become doulas. It sort of goes under a different category because we're not qualified to deliver, right? It's a lot of medical. So they will then, it's a different element. And people always say to me, why don't you become midwives? It'd be very hard to change my hat. I want to be right next to them. I want to be able to support them in a different way. As much as when you're inquiring or chatting with them for the first time, you almost interview them, right? It's just, you need to know what feels right for you. They're going to be a part of your journey. I know people that have interviewed 3 different people. And it's basically got to come with your values. What you see is important. People said you have to be a mother to become a doula. No, I don't want to scroll down. It's obviously it's in you that you want to do this journey. And where there's so many, there's a big spectrum of doulas. And so there are ones that will support differently. It's really up to what you feel that sits right for you in that category of your values. You know, if they have extra qualifications, great, because then they can give you the more support that you need. But it's, yeah, it's, I wish it was regulated, to be honest, because I think, you know, how I know that there are places or even some obstetricians or hospitals that weren't allowed to support because of that clash in the past, you know, because back in the day, unfortunately, some rules would stop or stand in front of medical to say she's not allowed to have this or no, she's not doing this. And that's not what I see as a doula. The meaning of a doula is to serve. It's a servant. It's a Greek word. And we're to serve, not to tell you how to eat your dinner. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's about telling you this is what you have and giving you those tools to be able to do it yourself. And that's what gives, I see women as empowerment because, yeah, you make your choice. Sorry, I've just been a whole other intent on that question. Sorry. Yeah.
No, we love that. We love that. And I think, I mean, bringing it back to the kind of conventional medical system too, I feel especially, and I mean, I know Shelley would feel this in her clinic too with our clients, sometimes when you're in the fertility space going into pregnancy and, you know, birth, you just feel some of these women just feel like another number in a system. There's no hand holding. There's no emotional support. And especially if you have been on a fertility journey, that number, if that number, I guess, becomes exacerbated in the system because going in on your own and maybe you're having multiple procedures like laparoscopies and all the rest of it to even get to where you want to be. And then in the system with your pregnancy and birth too. So it's amazing that you are the first one in Melbourne.
And in Australia.
In Australia. And maybe this will be the catalyst for the conventional system in other hospitals to take note of your specific role in the whole aspect of reproductive health, I guess, we know, to really set that as the foundations to then propel that into the rest.
I've even supported and had talks with the surrogacy team, for example, and how to support the surrogate, support the family and how to do it. And coming from a whole another element. So it's pretty amazing to see what I can do and the support that I have. And to me, it's like a no-brainer. Why isn't this happening? Like, you know, so it's, I don't know. I think maybe it's, you know, it's parts of the doula training or just think it's birth related or it's just postpartum. And I think that's also, you know, with the come with the doula or anything like that, I think sometimes where you would have a doula would make you be then for birth be against the system when the system is helps you fall pregnant to then flick that switch to go, I don't want to birth in hospital and I don't want to do these things. But you've also helped and had a team get you to that point. I also then have a whole other element where women are very much like, I wasn't in control to fall pregnant. I didn't really. This is not what I imagined. This is not how I pictured how I would start my family. And then to the point where they need to control their pregnancy because they haven't been in control. So giving them the tools to be able to go, you know what, it's okay and it's valid to go, you know, this is what I want my birth to look like and no one's telling me otherwise. And that's fine. You can have that voice, but you know, like it's that person to have that balance. You know, we've had people that go, oh, you know, I just, and it gets so emotional because they've felt like they haven't been able to control things and everything's been one away for them. They've had to have all these things that pregnancy is like, well, now I'm in charge. I will look up. This is how I my birth to look like. And that's awesome. And having that support to advocate that or have that team to go, yep, we understand where you've been emotionally, where you are today. So it's important. I think even postpartum, I look at women that have been on a fertility journey. And I said, I didn't really unpack the last 3 years. Or have you, you know, unpacked, everyone's very much, you've got to go into that next cycle. I've got to do this. I've got to jump onto this. And they haven't really comprehend not only what emotionally but what their body's gone through. And I think that that's, you know, I say to my clients, be kind to yourself, you know, to remember that this is, you know, what's happened or what has happened, to go, oh, now I'm done. I should be grateful when they have their baby and they've got other issues that they haven't dealt with. So having that support from get-go, they're unpacking it without realizing it. And then come the fourth trimester or even 2 years down the track and go, you know what, holy shit, I did that and this is what I've done and this is how I now look at my journey.
Yeah, and I think that unpacking, and I'm assuming that's a big part of that postpartum, but the other thing that has blown me away is my neighbour had a postpartum doula and she would send the doula a shopping list. The doula would come over, have done the groceries, would sit there, cook, would look after baby while she went and had a bath, like so blissful for her. Like at one point she was literally dropping me food, the not pregnant, just had a baby person.
Yeah.
Because she's like, my doula is making so much beautiful food here. And I'm like, I should be dropping you food. But it blows me away, the Western world, particularly for postpartum, is dismal. I have done 3 home births. And so I must admit my experience is slightly different because my midwives were over here a lot in my first 2 weeks. But from what I hear, women give birth, they might stay for, you know, up to 5 days, depending on what's happened. And then they're kind of sent home and maybe 2 weeks later, they'll get a call from their maternal health nurse and they come over. Often the woman's not even looked at in that time. And I always say to my mamas, like, you know, you need to be saying to them, can you please check and make sure, like, I want to know where your uterus is sitting and things like that, because it's a really good gauge as to where your healing is. And so, but it just blows me away. And this was where it wasn't until my neighbor had a postpartum doula, I went, wow, like this is actually something that is available for women. So can you talk to us a little bit about the postpartum? Because obviously there is that unpacking and that debrief, which is so important for a woman to have, regardless of her birth, I believe. But then there's additional things that a postpartum doula can offer, right?
Yeah. So postpartum looks different for everybody in the role of what a postpartum doula does. So yes, they can cook, they can clean, they can either do that element or they're there emotionally to support mum and baby and help them navigate or create what I say, create the village. So after what I would say with me, that I have helped them almost have that stepping stone. So if they need those networks, they know where to find them. That's something that I'm very much about. I worked with a couple once and they had a doula that did exactly what your neighbor had. She came in and she cooked. She did nothing with baby she maybe did mama massage. And I then did the emotional support and helped her with baby. So she had 2 doulas working. And that may not suit, but I was there with her birth, but we did different things. And no doula, but we did clash as well. So we just sort of did what she did. And I'm very much I'll make a friend with anyone. So it's no issue. So we just had people just cook. And I think, you know, there are some cultures that very much, we sort of forget that the first 40 days, you know, some cultures you don't leave your room, you know, and you have. And I think as we've developed over the years, all those cultures have is gone, especially here in the West. You know, and we hear, sometimes I worry when someone says, oh, I'm going to go back to work in 6 weeks. And I go, oh, maybe we'll really think about it when that happens. But having that time to be able to not negotiate, but to actually look about what happens when I do my birth education, I always cover the fourth trimester. Something that's very important. Most births class and we'll sort of touch, this is what happened, this is what might happen to Baba. But I look at it as what's also not only going to happen to you as a birthing mum, emotionally and physically. What happens with hormones? What's happening to you in your uterus? You know, will you lose your appetite? Will you be famished? To also know that this is also normal. You know, everyone just thinks, I'm going to be pregnant, I'm going to be breastfeeding, that's going to look easy too. So we also know. So I cover the first 12 weeks. Because to me, the first 6 weeks is you're finding your groove, you're getting your confidence. Debrief of birth is really important, even if it was perfect. We need to talk about it, not only for you, but your birthing support people, the husband, your partner, you know, your sister, your mom, because they're going to look at it in another way that as you experienced it. So when I do a debrief, I do it with the couple. We chat, you know, even if it's over a cup of tea, right? We sit and we talk about what that looked like for them. Sometimes even a debrief after 12 weeks when people go, sometimes I get a call around 4 or 5 months and people will say to me, is this too late to contact you? Like, does it have to be newborn? And it's about that we then talk about sometimes a thing about trauma or anxiety about breastfeeding and what that looked like for them at the start. So I work with also kinesiologists. So sometimes we do a home visit, work with kinesiologists, see what brings up, and then I have deep breathing. And so all bringing in confidence, I think, you know, first time, second time, sometimes our confidence looks different. But there are so many different types of postpartum doulas, and some will just cook and clean. And I think, you know, when you tell someone, like your neighbor's experience, of like, oh my God, where was that? When I needed it, I thought that's awesome. That's all I needed. And sometimes I always say, you know, when, yes, it's great for them to bring meals, like family to bring meals and postpartum. Sometimes it's also to have good snacks. So what I say to like, you know, you're not going to sit there at 10 o'clock in the morning to have a lasagna or bake. So I always say, make them give you a fruit platter or, you know, cut up veggies that you can swing by the fridge, take a handful, and you're eating something. Because sometimes, you know, it actually interests a lot of wanting to eat a lot. You know, some are, but I think it's about knowing and about what that day looks like. So I always then tell them to bring your fruit platter, tell them to bring veggie snack board that you can just eat on the go as well as meals. So it's everyone, I wish that one doula, every doula is different. And so it is an element of what, you know, and they probably wouldn't do births. People that are cooking and all those things, that they probably only support the fourth trimester. I do 2 12-weeks. You know, I do home visits as Adela as well. And I know some other people probably think I'm nuts, but I do unlimited text support to 12 weeks. So they can call me at any stage. I also do that throughout their journey. So once they book me, they can call me on the Sunday, go, I need a chat, can we chat tomorrow? And that's just because a 10-minute chat could change someone's whole day. So it's, you know, even having that sounding board postpartum with it, that this, not that I need to give an advice, but they just have to always run through their day. This is what I did, this is what we did, this did it. And not only that, because I work with, you know, pelvic floor physios and acupuncturists and lactation consultants, as I said, I help them very much. So once, you know, I've done my role, that they can navigate what this journey looks like post 6 to 12 weeks. You know, I help them how to do what tummy time looks like, how to be social, because as new mums, we forget how to do that. When we have a baby, we'll lose confidence to go, do I go out? Do I not go out? Do I, you know, creating them to, you know, if they don't like their mother's group or where or parents or where that, you know, what they can go to. And that's also networking and giving them the confidence to then network with other mothers that are either at the same stage or have gone through things. So I think it's important to have, as I said, to have a doula. Like people say, what do people do without a doula? They do. But it's, you know, once they hear about it, like, oh, I wish I had that because I needed it.
Yeah, you are blowing my mind with all this. And I just, you know, Shelley and I see women in their postpartum, they're burnt out, they're stressed, they don't know how to prioritize themselves. It's children always first, and the same narrative. And I always see it on Instagram too. It's like this glorification of being this burnt out, non-thriving, low energy mother in a sense, which I find really bizarre. Yeah. But it's, and I feel like if we had that support with a doula, even from the get-go, even if it was just from that postpartum period, yeah, when you're doing the birth debriefing, when you're going through the first 12 weeks to set those core foundations and to have something in your pocket 24/7, that's incredible that you offer that as part of the service, just to really support and nurture and have that sounding board for the mental aspect is phenomenal, with how that will take that mother into that first 12 months of motherhood, second time, third time, first time, you know, whatever, and help, really help, I guess, establish her core foundations of herself, because you lose yourself so much, and the burnout, all of that's there, and that's fine, that's, you know, part of the journey. But I think if we can thrive as mothers and really, you know, nurture that from the get-go,
yeah,
just really, yeah, like I'll keep batting, setting that foundation would be absolutely.
And to remind them that it's normal, and to have that, it's building like confidence. You know, I always say, and this is my chats, even about postpartum, it's about your confidence and your partner or your husband's confidence too. It's got to look differently. You know, we instantly go as mothers, oh, don't do it like this. Don't do it like this. The baby does it this way. So I almost say to them, remember, he's going to do it his own way. And so it's okay. We're all going to do things different. You're going to send it. You're going to settle Boba differently. He's going to burp differently. It's okay. And so also I make this rule of now you know I'll share in the podcast. I say to people, couples, you know, what he said at 10 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock in the morning is not to be held against each other the next day. Right. So we're tying. We know we're meant to be sleeping. So we're going to just, everything's just going to fly out. But it's not about the next day. And so having those things, or to know that today may not look like tomorrow, but that's okay. Because everyone's like, I love this. And yeah, today we've got it. We've got it. It's going to look like this tomorrow, but it may not. And just to sort of always to understand that vortex of what I call postpartum, it doesn't look so thick. And it, you know, you start to have that query. And those first 2 weeks, all those steps are just so overwhelming. You know, people are like, I'm sitting here with my breast pump and I'm going to live and die on this seat. I'm never going to do anything. And so it's that to let them know that I'll tell you, I say to them, you know, in a week, we're going to have a conversation and these steps are not going to look like the steps you're doing today. And to remind them that it's, you know, looking back, well, you know, with women that I've worked with, they're like, well, I know it's not forever. Where at the time you're in it and you're like, this is never going to end, right? So setting that foundation to know that it won't always look like this. And it's really setting foundations, but also to be able to give yourself confidence to grow. This is a new you, right? And also to not think that your life stops because you've had children.
Yeah.
To go out, if you do breakfast on a Sunday, take Bubba. Like, there is no reason why things need to stop. You know, I always say, I'm like, have you left the house? This is one thing I'll always say. Have you gone out to get air today? And they'll go, oh, I don't have time. Go stand in your backyard. Go breathe air, right? Because those four walls, you know, we had to do it for how long we did for COVID now. Like, we have the opportunity. I said, even if you go and walk your street up and down and come home. Or people are like, I can't exercise like I used to, because that's a lot too. You know, even in pregnancy, people are like, I can't exercise how I used to. You will get to exercise how it was. You just need to modify. But getting out and doing something for yourself can fill up your cup. And I think people think that that's, you know, us mums, working mums, you know, having that guilt. You know, there are days, you know, I do work big hours and I have two young children myself, but I very, you know, my daughters are very, I have a 7 and a 4-year-old and they all know when the doula bag comes out. They know that when I get a call in the middle of the night to go, mom's got to go, she's got to help with the joke, there's a baby coming. So they know that 2 o'clock in the morning, if they do wake, or they know that they, you know, and my wife, that, you know, my clients also know that I have children. So that's really nice too. But it's, I think, you know, we have a lot of pressure as women. I always say, is it empowerment or judgment? And sometimes we're very much quick to place judgment, not empowerment. So it's, I think, about building your confidence. And I always say, I wish I gave you one book. It's, this is how you raise your children. Good luck. And this is how it's going to look. And it's going to look different for everybody. But to understand that, what, you know, Shelley, what you did to your neighbor, it's going to look different to you and your sisters or your aunt or your best friend. And that's okay. It's about what you and your routine and confidence looks like in your household. And that's that foundation that we were talking about, and knowing how to navigate it. I think we do. I remember the first time I had, like, my daughter Lucielle at the hospital. I was like, well, if I had to do this, like, does anyone want to watch me go home? Like, here I am, you know, I'm in the capsule and I'm like, this is what now? What do I do? And it's a scary thing. And it's, and I remember, you know, just thinking beforehand, like, and that's what drove me to become a doula. And I worked in the medical industry and worked with fertility, and I just wanted to give that support to go, you know what? I have that person that you can call. And, you know, clients have said, you don't know you need to turn to you. And people say, I'm getting you for my husband, but I didn't realize I actually need you myself.
I remember when I left the hospital when I had Sunny, and it was COVID 2020. And we walked down to the hospital, and after 5 days, we birthed privately. And, you know, you're in your little cocoon there. I had a beautiful experience. It was amazing. Never birth debrief, though, and all these little things kept coming back. And I was like, oh, my birth is actually quite intense, you know. And I remember sitting at the cafe with this capsule, and I kept looking. I was just like, what just happened? You know, you just, all of a sudden, you're out of the cocoon. Your mind's racing a million miles an hour, and there's this little baby in this capsule. And I remember having a coffee, and I felt so bizarre. I felt like I was living someone else's reality, because I had really no idea what had just happened. The last 5 days were blissful in a sense.
Yeah.
Then I got home, and I was sitting there, and I just remember looking at Sunny going, it's just you and me now, babe. And obviously my husband, but there was, you know, there was none of that support. I didn't have a doula. I didn't really even know much about doulas back then. And just to hear what you do, and him, you know, I reflecting on my own experiences moving into hopefully my next pregnancy and postpartum, is just going to be such a different experience.
A doula.
Definitely getting a doula, 100%.
Yes, that's all you need. That's get a doula. And yes, so it's,
I feel like you, a doula and yourself, Vanessa, just really help a mother and a parent sink in and surrender to what life is. And I think as mothers and as parents, that is the best place that we can be, is surrendering to whatever that hour, that minute, that day, that night, that week might look like. And you help women and couples do that, which is the most beautiful gift a mother can have, because at the end of the day, we can't control the uncontrollable. And you do just need to sink in and surrender to all of this. So tell us where our listeners can find you.
Well, I have an Instagram page. So it's vanessa.salerno _doula. Generally, you can jump. I also have my own podcast where you can listen to me, which is the Modern Doula podcast. You get to hear me and have other speakers, and you get to hear from Joe. And then you've got my website, which is vanessa.thedoula.com.
Beautiful. And we will make sure everything is linked below. Vanessa, it has been amazing having you on and chatting about this. And Cappy, I know your mind has been blown.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you for coming on. We'll chat soon.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. That way we can continue to inspire and reach more mamas around the globe. If you would like to get in contact, request a guest or topic, then head to the No BS Approach to Motherhood Instagram page and send us a direct message. Otherwise, until next episode, stay sane, Mama.